Lord Jesus, you powerfully used God's people in the past to change their world, to bring the gospel of peace to places they could never have imagined. Lord, there is so much need for that gospel of peace in our world today. There are so many people who don't know the hope that Jesus can bring. Lives are broken. People live in despair. Lord, as you used your people in the past, use us to change our world. Let your Holy Spirit rest on each of us as we think about the purpose for which you have placed us here. And let your Holy Spirit rest upon me. I ask that you would help me to speak your word faithfully and clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul was at the end of his rope as he wrote 2 Timothy. The lesson that we're going to study today is just three verses from the very first chapter of that letter that he is writing to his co-worker Timothy. Timothy is probably in the city of Ephesus, where Paul had left him serving there. And Paul is asking Timothy in this letter to hurry to come to be with him, because Paul has sent many of his co-workers out all over the Mediterranean world to carry out ministry, and others of his co-workers have deserted him. Only Luke, the doctor, is still there with him. And Paul, as he sits in prison and waits his death, he feels very much all alone. And so he's asking Timothy to come quickly before winter, so that he might be filled with joy. And as he begins this letter, he talks about God's purpose, God's plan for himself, for Timothy, and certainly also for each of us. Our lesson is 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 8. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose, his own plan. God has a plan, his own purpose and grace, his undeserved love. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So as the Apostle Paul begins to encourage Timothy in his ministry, he reminds Timothy that God has a plan. What I would call the straight line plan that's illustrated by this rope right down the center of the aisle. The Apostle Paul says that this plan that God had for him and for Timothy and for us began before the beginning of time. So before the world began, God chose us to be his own dear sons and daughters. Even though the Apostle Paul was sitting in prison, he could have this certainty that I am in this close personal relationship with God because God had this plan that began before the beginning of time. And it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Now, for the Apostle Paul, he actually got to see Jesus on his way up to Damascus. Remember, in Acts chapter 9, Jesus appears to the Apostle Paul when he is still known as Saul. And it's when Jesus appears that it becomes clear to Paul that he was part of God's plan from eternity, that Jesus had come for him. Now, you and I have never had a chance to personally interact with our Savior, so how do we know that this plan, this straight line plan that God has, applies to us? Well, I put the baptismal font here because if at no other time in your life, if you have been baptized, Jesus Christ intersected with your life. In your baptism, God promised that he would cloak you in Christ Jesus himself. That in the waters of baptism, you had the promise that Jesus' death on the cross was for you, and that your sins were washed away. If you ever question, does God really want me as part of this straight line plan that began before the creation of the world, go back to your baptism. I don't care how we feel, this is the truth, that God's grace, his forgiving love, has appeared to each one of us in our baptisms. And God's plan, this straight line plan, leads all the way to the place where death is destroyed and immortality is our gift. You have to remember that the Apostle Paul is writing this as he faces the imminent prospect of his own death at the hands of the Romans. But he had this confidence that there was this straight line plan, this straight line purpose that God had for him. From the beginning of the world, God had a plan. He intersected with Christ. And now that plan is ultimately going to take him to life, immortality, through the gospel of Christ. Now, some of you can't see that this center line is tied to the center post of the altar. You know, there are so many things about the symbolism of our church that I just love, and one of them is that our altar has three legs, which is unusual, right? Three posts: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How could it possibly be that the God of the universe would want Paul to enjoy life in immortality? How could Paul be confident as he sits in a Roman prison facing death that life and immortality was his possession? Because it's anchored in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for him. Now, I'll be honest, I came up with this idea, and I was all excited until I realized, oh no, it's Communion Sunday. I want this line to come straight up the center, and the communion table is in the way. Thank you, Lord. Because in just a few minutes, you and I get to just have a little sample of the eternal celebration. You know, when we receive Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper, it's just another reassurance that he wants to feast with us in eternity. And that we have this straight line purpose from God. He knew me before the creation of the world. He intersected with me, and he wants me to sit at his table for eternity. Guaranteed, because it's all tied to the Son of God who died for you and me. That's God's straight line purpose. It's very clear. The trouble is, this is a purpose that we can only see by faith. Because our lives don't seem to have this straight line purpose. Instead, I think of it more like a meandering line purpose. There seems to be no rhyme or reason sometimes in our lives. Why do we bump into different people in our lives and connect with them? What is God's purpose? Could it possibly be? And why is it that we experience different things in our lives? Maybe you're working in a job that you hate, and that's where you bump into somebody that you get to know. Or maybe you have a neighbor that you're trying to share the faith with, and he never listens. Sorry, Ron, I have to pick on you there. What could God's purpose possibly be? If heartache comes into my life, what could God's purpose possibly be? There seems to be no plan, no purpose. We lose friends. For what purpose? God, it just doesn't seem to make any sense. And so, very often, as we go through our lives, we might go, I don't see any plan and any purpose in my life. What am I here for? But the reality is, God does have a plan and a purpose. The Apostle Paul wrote to his young co-worker Timothy, he said, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Now, why might I be ashamed? Because as I've wandered through my life, as I've gone on this meandering line, I might be ashamed because of my own sin. How many of us haven't tried to share our faith with somebody and kind of gotten thrown back into our face, you're a hypocrite? And they're right. We are. And we can be ashamed, and that shame can silence us. Or we can be ashamed of God's church, because we as a church don't always function in love. And people point that out. We might be ashamed because it seems like God doesn't seem to answer prayers. You know, the Apostle Paul is sitting in prison. What kind of faith is this, that God doesn't seem to be able to answer prayers? There are lots of different reasons why we might be ashamed, and Satan would use that to silence us and to keep us from fulfilling the purpose for which God placed us here. And so the Apostle Paul says to Timothy and to us, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the sake of the gospel by the power of God. You see, it's actually in this time of shame and suffering that God can use us most effectively, because he has called us to live a holy life. A holy life, not in the sense that we've done everything right, because we haven't, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. It's when we are confident of that straight line plan and purpose of our God that God can use us according to his purpose. So perhaps it's at a time when maybe we failed as parents. Because who of us as parents don't feel like sometimes we failed? And our Our kids point out our hypocrisy. But what are we doing? It's in that point of weakness that we can say, Lord, forgive me. And we show what true humility and Christian humility is as we confess and we forgive. And we're inviting people, come along with me and follow me on my purpose. Vicki, would you come and follow me? You can leave the rope there. And we just follow the purpose. And we don't know what God's plan and purpose is. All we know is we're trying to live a holy life, a life of service to the God because of this straight line plan that he has. And we interact with people along the way, and sometimes they just amaze us, and we say, you want to join us on this mission? And miraculously they say, yeah, Kevin, would you walk with me? And sometimes it's in the greatest pain that God prepares us to share love with others. And Dan, I know that you have experienced pain, and it's in the midst of that pain that your faith shines out most brightly. Day by day, Sunday by Sunday, here praising your Savior. And you're inviting everybody around you, would you come with me and follow me to the Savior? Dan, you want to walk with me? You know, and as we walk through life, we try to share our faith with people. We try to live a godly life. And sometimes we talk to somebody who says, would you come along with me? And you go, no. Sorry, Ron, I'm picking on you. Like I said, there's always the bad guy in the story, and you're it today. And maybe it's because you have lived through a job that you hate, that you can assure somebody else God still has a plan and a purpose. And you interact with them in a way that you couldn't have otherwise. And you invite them, want to follow? Join with me? Now it seems like we have come out to the middle of nowhere over here. Doesn't it? We are far removed from the cross of Christ. But what they can't see back there is God's plan. It seems like it's meandering with no plan and purpose, but God had a plan to use each one of us to lead the people around us to Christ. Thanks so much for playing along with me. If you guys want to go back, I just want to say a few last words. Sometimes we think that joining Jesus on his mission means that we have to go on some mission journey, or that we have to do something special to fulfill God's meandering line purpose. All it really takes is for us as Christians to be confident of this straight line purpose, that God had a plan for me before the creation of the world. He caused me to intersect with Christ, and he's going to take me to life and immortality. And so as I meander through life, and sometimes it seems there is no rhyme or reason to who God has me interact with, joining Jesus on his mission is simply striving to live that holy life. Holy not in the sense that we do everything right, but holy in the sense of freely admitting our sins, claiming God's forgiveness, and day by day seeking again to serve our Savior. That's really what our purpose is. And people will see, and people will follow, and there will be more people before the throne of God someday. And that's why the Apostle Paul, as he thinks about the people that he interacted with through his meandering line through the Mediterranean world, he says that those believers were his joy and crown. When we are there enjoying life and immortality, the people that God allowed us to bump into along the way, and they intersected with Christ through us, it may be our kids, our co-workers, our neighbors, our friends, they will be our joy and crown. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.